It's time to get freaky. I'm Leah.
I'm Leora, and welcome to
The Frequency.
Yay! That was pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? I was first try.
Yeah, first try. We're first pros. What can we say?
Very professional.
So professional.
And very good at this.
Absolutely.
So this is, I mean, it's our podcast.
Sure is.
I guess I should explain what the podcast is about.
Yeah, and how it came to be.
So one time I went into Leora's chat and she was like, oh, Leah, how was your pee funnel? Did you enjoy your pee funnel? And I was like, okay, new best friend unlocked.
I had to know. I saw you getting the pee funnel. And then I had to know. It was a burning question.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't not know the result of that journey. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it was fine. In case you were wondering, chat and listeners at home, it was okay. But I didn't enjoy it.
Underwhelming.
Yeah. Peeing standing up felt too vulnerable, you know? Your butt's exposed to the outside world. The outside world, I mean, you're like your bathroom, but like, right. It's designed to be in the outside world. Can you believe that? It's like, it's even more unsecure than when I practiced in my bathroom.
I do think that men have a little bit of an advantage when they're doing that. Like, if you think about like the equivalent, right? It's like peeing in a bottle or something. But they don't have to expose their entire ass to pee in a bottle. They just gotta shimmy
just whip
it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
They might not even have to touch it. It's like,
yeah. You gotta like spread your legs and then put it like between. And it's like a whole thing.
Do you have to like hold it there while you're doing it?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, it's not like strapped on to me.
Yeah. Maybe it should be.
Maybe. The strap on piss puddle. Anyway, so that's when I was like, oh, I should have Leora be the person that I use for. I used to have this thing called, I had this series on my channel that was just me talking about everything that made me upset on the internet.
Oh.
I called that Femcel Wednesday because that's I'm self-described as that.
Sure.
But to be more brand friendly and to accommodate, you know, the outside world. I was like, what if we ditch that and we just talk about everything?
Cursed shit.
The freaky shit. Yeah, this is the day for the freaky shit.
The shit
it's
that no one else
day.
Wants to talk about, but should be talking about.
Mm-hmm. You see a cute anime girl and you're like, she definitely doesn't pee in
piss?
A funnel.
Oh, I thought you just meant piss in general. But you know what? Peeing in a funnel too. Both of those things.
This girl doesn't menstruate.
Yeah.
That's not... Yeah. I don't know. Leora's the only other VTuber that I've heard talk about sounding before, so I was like... if there was somebody who would match my freak, it would be Leora. Oh, I can explain!
No, I have another sounding story.
Stop! There's more than one!
I have a second sounding story because it came up yesterday. Okay, wait, this one is kind of... Okay, you might freak out from this one.
Mm.
So recently, I was doing the thing that one does and going through the various channels that you go through to read porn.
Okay, yeah, no. That's like, you could have just said porn.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to avoid it and then I got to the end and I was like, okay, yeah, like, I can't
anyway,
avoid this anymore.
I was jorking
one night. And I have certain tags that I really like and I have a whole ass stream for that. But I was going through one of my tag lists and I'm very open in terms of like, I don't mind if it's straight porn. I don't mind if it's BL. I don't mind if it's Yuri.
It better be gay. If it's not gay, I'm not reading.
I actually do not care as long as someone is getting mind
getting
broken.
Getting mind broken! Holy shit. We're off to a great start.
As long as someone is getting mind broken... It's all good in the hood is all I gotta say, you know, like I have no qualms. But anyway, I was on this one. It was like a BL, I guess. Well, I don't know because I didn't even get to the BL part, but it was a guy who had ordered a houseplant and
okay.
<Your face. laughs>
Not sure where this is going.
Hear me out.
I'm like concerned on several levels. There's multiple directions this could go. Actually, can you let me guess where this is going?
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
Is the houseplant A, an aphrodisiac? B, going to turn into a boy that will fuck this other boy? Or C, a way to isekai?
It is D.
No!
It is D, the houseplant becomes a tentacle monster and grapes the guy.
Was it good?
Okay, so that's the thing. He gets jorked.
Okay.
He gets jorked by this tentacle houseplant. Uh-huh. And one of the things, because it's a tentacle houseplant, it, you know, it just has tentacles and whatever. But yeah, because that's what it is, eventually it starts sounding him with one of its little mini tentacles. Anyway, it goes down his peepee hole, and the tiny tentacle goes down. And,
oh my god!
As it does, right? As they do.
Yeah. Okay.
And so my friend had recommended me this BL.
Really?
And yeah, actually, It wasn't even just my friend. It was my Mane-chan's friend that recommended, because
this feels like an HR violation. Your manager's friend sent you
my
a porn
manager's
recommendation?
Friend and I have very similar taste is all I can say.
Okay.
Anyway, she sends me this thing and I was like, okay, actually I've already read that. I was like, hey, isn't this the one where he gets like the tentacle goes in his urethra?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, it is. Mm. You've read it already. I was like, yeah,
don't
I have
that.
But I didn't get to the BL part. I only got to that part because anytime I see sounding, I physically convulse. I don't have a penis, but I physically convulse and like my hard on is off, you know, like it's gone. The mood has been ended.
That's kind of how I feel about like when they like put stuff in the nipples.
Oh yeah, I hate that too.
Yeah, that's like when I turn it off.
There's another layer to the story. So they were like, oh, well, are you just like not into sounding or like, you know, like whatever? Like, is it just because like you don't like the imagination of like if you were to have a penis, like how that would feel? But I was like, actually, it's deeper than that. There was this other hentai I was reading. And this one,
she's like traumatized.
I am traumatized. It was a straight one. So it was one of those classic ones where it's like, I go to this school and in this school, all women are used for sex. And
okay,
all the boys get to do whatever they want with the girl. Uh-huh. It's like very classic hentai trope. Mm-hmm. It was one of those, you know, whatever. And those usually have pretty good mind breaks. So I was just like reading through whatever.
Yeah, the girls and nose ones, they normally get pretty fucked up, so yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's a good stuff, good stuff. Anyway, in that one, they were torturing this girl, but it's like sex torture, right? So at the beginning, I was just like, okay, it's just like sex torture, whatever, it's like normal. And then they started doing urethra stuff with her. Yeah.
Like,
and that looked painful. Like that actually, like seeing that, like obviously with the penis, like I can only imagine, I don't know what it feels like, right? I can only imagine. But then when I saw that, that was like actually horrifying. Yeah. Like after that, I was like, holy shit, like this is actually really fucking scary. Like, I don't think I could do that. Like, that's so scary. And that was like when I began to have empathy for penises.
The male urethra.
Exactly. I didn't understand before, but now I am an ally. What can I say?
It wasn't until this day that I've truly understood empathy for the male urethra.
Exactly. You know, I came out a better person for it too. What can I say?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Anyway, so now I have sounding PTSD. So anytime I even see it on
a penis,
it like freaks me out.
That's fair. That's totally fair. Yeah. So I don't jerk off, obviously.
Sure.
But if I... you sure. believe that so easily?
Well, you told me your story. I remember your story.
I gave up on it. I don't know. I feel like
I cut it cold turkey,
a few
you
months
said.
Ago. I did cut it cold turkey.
Yeah.
Because I had an addiction.
Yeah, no, this is a real thing, by the way, because I've also relapsed like this before where when you're reading a lot of hentai and you're dorking a lot, it's really a, it's like becomes like a habit, and you really have to just cut it cold turkey. And if you cut it cold turkey, you don't even feel the urges anymore after a while. It's like, you're fine. You're happy. You're in your happy place.
I would say that, except, so like around, you know, COVID happened. Remember that? That was a whole thing, right? So I was on birth control like my whole life until I was like, I want to find myself. You know,
right?
Because like when you're on birth control, it like changes like what you like. Right. It changes like your sense of smell, your whole personality, your drive.
I don't think people really understand quite literally how, like, because I think when people hear birth control, because of the name, the nomenclature, it sounds like you're using it to control birth. But I would say that most women that I know on birth control are not controlling any sort of birth. They're using it as like a sort of hormonal supplement for themselves. So I think it's a really important to note that. And it does really like physically alter your everything chemistry, like everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was on it because I didn't want to have my period that much because it hurt. Because I'm a little pussy bitch.
No, no. It's so real.
And so I was on the one that was like every 3 months I would have my period or something. And so I went off of it because I like, I don't know, TikTok happened and they was all like, I don't, I feel like I got like brainwashed by the algorithm.
Oh no.
To be like, you know, like go off of birth control and find out who you really are. So I did that.
Is this like when pregnant people like want to have, when they get brainwashed into having like natural birth in like a tub somewhere instead of going to the hospital?
Okay, I will say, okay, okay. We're going to get to the birth stuff in like a minute. Because that's the topic for today's show.
Uh-huh.
But like, I do think that water births do sound more relaxing. And that's just because I do like being in a hot tub.
Okay, I like being in a hot tub. But if I want an epidural, I want an epidural.
I think you can get an epidural and get in the hot tub to like push a baby out. But maybe I'm wrong.
I guess you would have to just have someone like a trained professional show up at your house or wherever.
Yeah. Yeah. And, no, one of my cousins had a water birth.
Oh.
And she was like, I had one cousin who had done completely natural and then another that did a water birth. And she was like, yeah, when I did my natural birth, the only thing that would have made it more like, you know, a little bit better would have maybe have been doing it in water. And she was like, I shat on it until I actually gave birth. And then I was like giving birth and I was like, where is that fucking tub of water? Put me in there.
My mom told me that when she was in labor with me, that she that my grandma insisted that she do it, you know, like in the hospital, but like naturally without any sort of like epidural or any sort of medication. And then she was in like, she was in labor with me for like 12 hours. And I think at some point, she literally just told that, she was apparently like screaming in pain. And she like told the doctor, like, just give me the epidural.
Oh my god.
Like, please just save me.
Holy shit.
I was like apparently like a really big baby, like a fat baby, you know.
Wait, how big of a baby were you?
I don't know. So I don't know what a big baby. I think I was something between 9 and 10 pounds. I don't know.
That's a big baby. That's a big fucking baby, Leora. You were kind of huge. A normal baby is like 7 pounds.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what babies are like. I wouldn't know. That's what my mom tells me.
Okay. Well,
anyway, sorry. We got derailed a little bit, but
we got super derailed. Yes. The podcast is about freaky shit.
It's about all this shit.
Whatever freak topics we want to talk about, including our period, births,
including
the placenta,
our fucking mentals, man.
Jerking off.
True.
All of the following. We will not be reading chat during this.
Oh, true.
Because we will be, we're recording to potentially post this on other platforms. So
yeah, so we will,
and also
see
we
chat.
Already get distracted enough. We get distracted enough just talking to ourselves.
So we will see chat, and if you are here live and you are posting, we see you, and maybe sometimes
and
you might correct us
you.
Or something, which would be great. But we will not be responding to chat, I guess, is the more accurate description here.
But I guess maybe it is a good time to talk about our subject for the day.
It's a pretty good transition.
Yeah, it's a really good transition. Let me change this topic first, because I think that that's like a next step.
Yeah.
Which is, do you want to be a mom, Leora?
So anyone who's watched my streams knows that I've actually talked about this topic quite a bit, because I am very not a baby person. Like, I have never once experienced baby fever in my entire life. And
that's so relatable.
And so the thing is, I thought like baby fever was just like an expression, but then I actually saw my friends or people that I know get real baby fever. And I think that's when I really realized like, oh, I don't have that. Like whatever those emotions they are experiencing, I have never once felt that way ever. And I think that's really solidified. I mean, up until then, I'd always been like pretty like, I don't think I'll ever have children. But that was really the point where I was like, no, I'm never going to have children. I have had kitten fever, which...
Kitten fever? You want kitties? I really want a kitten.
And it like... Every time I see a kitten, I feel like my heart is going to break into a million pieces because I just want them so bad. And then I got a kitten. And so here I am. So I am a mom, just a different kind of mom, I guess.
A cat mom.
Cat mom. Yeah.
A cat mom. Mm-hmm. Well, that's still motherhood, right?
Sure. I'm now adding Leah to my list of children, to my growing list of
collection.
Yeah, my cat. I have kitten fever, a.k.a. I have Leah fever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay. Leah fever.
Leah fever. That's the real stuff. That's the real stuff, Chad.
No, but I feel you on the never having baby fever thing. I feel like I'm pretty similar. I've never been, when I was like a kid, I would never play like the mom.
Oh, well, okay. You would play, like, good question. House. What would you play when you played house? Like, what role were you?
You really want to know?
Yeah, I want to know.
The dog.
No, me too!
The dog.
Me too.
It was a good playhouse.
Me too. Oh my gosh. No wonder we're like this.
Yeah.
We started young.
We started really young.
We were freaks when we were kids. Yeah. It's insane.
To be fair, the dog had the best gig.
You do have best gig. You have no responsibilities. Like, you just bark.
Literally, you're just vibing. Yeah. You woof every couple minutes and
you get fed and people give you attention and it's good stuff.
It's honestly, I wish I was a real dog.
No, you're so real for that. I wish I was a cat.
Nice. I wish I was like one of like Lady Gaga's dogs.
Yeah, like you have to be like a rich person's pet.
Yeah, like a rich person's dog or cat.
But you know what?
Can you imagine being Taylor Swift's cat?
But you know what? Also, I just wish I was a rich person's anything.
True.
Like a rich person's child. I wish I was just rich, actually. Let's rephrase that. I wish I had. Yeah. A trust fund would be nice.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Santa, Christmas. I want like, or like, you know, those, that trope of like, all of a sudden you get a letter in the mail and it's like you had an uncle who you were like the only living relative to. And they were super rich, but they had ostracized themselves from society. So you're like the next heir in line and you just inherit all of their shit.
Oh, or like if you could just find one of those, you read manhwa, right?
Yeah.
Like the, what are they called?
Like the CEOs.
Like the CEO trope. Where it's like this handsome,
the hot CEO,
the hot autistic CEO who like hates everything except for you.
That's so real.
And he like barely has to work because
he's the CEO.
Establishes his whole living off of the labor of the plebeians beneath him.
Right. Right. Yeah. This is the real sexual fantasy.
It really, honestly. Loads of money. Preferably there would be no strings attached, because with a man the money comes strings attached.
Oh, that's true.
With a dead uncle it does not come with strings attached.
Yeah,
because that uncle's already dead.
It's so true. Morally, the least you can do is visit his grave once a year.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good string. Oh, wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? What is it called when, like, people date, like, senior citizens? Like, young people.
Oh, gold digging.
But gold digging can just be any rich person, right? Like, this, I'm talking, like, specifically, like, clearly, like, someone who's, like, 80 to 90 years old.
Yeah.
And they're married or whatever, but, you know, you kind of grave robbing. I think that's true. I think that's the right one. Grave robbing.
Is that what it's called? Grave robbing.
I think I've heard that.
Rocking a death cradle.
What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, listen, it depends on how shitty the stepchildren are, right? I think that's perfectly fine if all the stepchildren are shitty.
Yeah, or if they have no kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, inheritance maxing is... Yeah, I do like inheritance maxing. No, I think that... If there's no kids, there's no issue.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, okay, I think if the person who is at death's door, if this relationship genuinely makes them happy, I think even if they have children, to a certain degree, I think it's like, as long as they're happy, even if it's like not a real, like they only live once, right? They're gonna die. Like, it's the last years of their life.
Pretty soon too.
If they have, if the choice is die and you have great children, but you feel like sexually or relationshiply unfulfilled versus die, even if it's fake, feeling happy and feeling fulfilled and feeling like there's somebody who loves you, even if it's fake.
Yeah, yeah. Not, you're gonna, you know, die anyway. Nobody wants to die alone, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah. So if you're like stopping that person from feeling like they're dying alone,
right?
I think if you genuinely love the person too, I think you can fall in love with like a, I mean, not me personally. But I think that it's possible for a young whippersnapper to fall in love with like an 80-year-old.
Yeah, I think it's possible too. I mean, I think it's usually less likely, but it is possible. It is possible. Anyway, I was curious to hear your thoughts. It's a
it's
an interesting phenomenon.
It's like a murky zone. Well,
yeah.
I think at least like in our society, it's very stigmatized because of like, what was her name? Oh, gosh. Nicole Smith?
Oh, I don't
know.
Was
that her name? Anna Nicole Smith. She married that old guy.
Like, I mean, everyone who like slept with, what's his name? Heath Ledger.
No, because she married this like really, she married an 89-year-old guy.
Oh.
And she was like 26.
Oh, Hugh Hefner, not Heath Ledger. Jesus Christ. I'm not good with celebrities, you guys.
Heath Ledger.
I'm not good with celebrities. It's like they both have weird H-sounding names.
Yeah. No, I think that there's a big stigma. And like, it depends on the family too. Right?
Yeah.
Like, we always assume so much about other people.
Yeah.
But we don't know their story.
No, it's so
true. We don't
know
if they actually love each other, you know?
Yeah. I totally agree with that. Like, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, so I completely...
Yeah, you don't.
Okay, well, that ties back into this question.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have that pressure or they feel like they need to have children because at least like in my family, or not my family specifically, but like in Asian culture, a lot of times what they'll say is like, yeah, but who's going to take care of you when you're older? Mm-hmm. Or like, especially in Korea, it's very common if you're married to live at your husband's family's home when they get older. To take care of them, which is why a lot of people put a lot of importance in having a male son, because who's going to take care of you otherwise?
Filial piety.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So do you feel, I mean, you talked about not having ever having baby fever, but like, do you also sometimes worry about like, oh, well, even if it's not like romantically, or even if you did have like a husband and they passed early, do you feel like not having someone to take care of you is like a problem, you think? Would you ever consider having children for that reason, I guess?
I don't think I'd ever have kids for that reason.
Sure.
I think that, okay, this is gonna get a little dark.
Okay.
And I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
I think if I ever get to that point, I would like travel to like Switzerland and do that thing that's legal there. At that point, like if I'm a burden on other people like that, like, I don't know. And also, like, how many good years do you think I'm going to have, right? Like that.
Yeah.
So, like, would I rather exist or, like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I don't want to put pressure.
No, because I've seen it happen, too, right? Where I've seen people who've had to take care of their relatives and essentially their life gets ruined because of that. And I could totally see a reality in which that makes you feel extremely guilty, or you feel, you know, like, that's a hard life to live, right?
Yeah.
For sure.
Ideally, I start a cult. We live on a commune and everybody else has kids to take care of me when I grow old because I am the
cult leader
of the cult.
Yeah.
And they will love me and not do elder abuse on me.
You know what?
That's the other option. I got two options.
That's a pretty good option. I like that one.
I got two retirement plans.
The truth about VTubers is that's what everyone's actually trying to do.
Yeah.
You don't know
We all just want to start cults and get like land in climate safe areas so that we can farm. And, you know, I feel like I could sell produce. You know?
What makes you...
I feel like I would do a like, good job selling produce.
What about produce sales do you feel confident in? What aspect of selling produce just gives you confidence?
It feels like something that everybody needs, right? And so, like, they'll buy it, right?
Yeah.
And if they don't buy it, that feeds the chickens. And
are you not concerned chickens about are in the, short supply. Competitors, about your other farmers or
the other cult members?
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah. No, this is important. This is all for the future cults that we're creating. I want to know our leader's plan, you know?
I think that there will be somebody who's good at marketing that I bring on into the cult. We just have to find them in a dark place in their life and then convince them that I can give them meaning.
Yeah. That's what cults are really good at doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're so good at it. I would do like during COVID.
I'm afraid of what you're going to say. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Research is good.
Yeah. No, like not to start one, but like actually I almost got recruited into like three separate cults.
Like you almost joined, or you mean like people?
No, like
three
recruiters
separate times
came up
people
to me
tried to
and
talk
they,
to
it
you.
Was obviously a cult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the pitch?
Three separate times.
What was the pitch?
Ooh, okay. The first one, this is my favorite one.
Okay.
I was at a Starbucks in college.
Okay.
And I'm bisexual. I don't know if it was obvious that I like girls because they're pretty. So this pretty girl comes up to me in Starbucks and she's like, "Do you think God is a woman?" And I'm like, whatever you say, beautiful.
So true.
I'm like stunlocked. I'm like, I don't know.
Now I do. Then I yes.
I don't. She could be. I mean, if that's what you think, then that's maybe what I think too.
Yeah.
And vibe. Then she gave me a card, and I looked up the church on the card, and it was a cult.
Uh-oh. Was it like a Christianity-based cult, or was it kind of like a... I see.
Yeah.
What about the other two times? Any good stories on those, or were they just more normal ones?
Well, I was walking into the grocery store for the other one to pick up a script for codeine, and... Because I had like my root canal happen or something, and I guess I must have looked really pathetic, and the other one was like a Buddhist cult.
Oh.
So this woman came up to me, and she was like, "You look like you need peace," and I'm like, yeah. Sure, whatever.
They do try to look for the most pitiful, vulnerable looking people.
I must look really vulnerable.
I used to get talked to about this really often when I lived in Asia. But the thing about Asian cults, and particularly Korean cults, are that they do their best to try to pretend like they're not a cult. I mean, most cults do, right? But they even try to pretend that they're not even a religion. Like that's how you know it's like a really insane cult. Like they don't even tell you it's a religion. They will just try to convince you to hang out. Like, like we have a club, or we have like a thing, or we do fortune telling and we can read your fortune. You want to have some tea with us, or we'll tell you about it. And then you go with them, and then like, it's like really fucking scary. It's like really hard to leave, and they take all your things or whatever, and it's like a whole it's like a whole
thing. They put you in like a compromising position. Did you do that? Did you get into a compromising position?
No, because I don't like to talk to strangers, period. So
you're like, "No, I have a healthy sense of stranger danger, actually."
Yeah, so it happened multiple times. In the beginning, when I first moved to Asia, I didn't realize that was what was happening, obviously. And you know, like when you first move to a new country, you want to make friends, and you're like, so you would hear them out a little bit, and then after a while, I was like, this is a little, I don't know, this doesn't seem right. So I would say no or walk away. But they're very persistent. Like, they will, like, grab you and
stuff. They'll hunt you down.
Yeah. And they'll keep following you and stuff. It's especially bad if you're, like, waiting somewhere. So there's, like, a couple stations where it's, like, popular to meet up with people. And I was, like, waiting at the station there, and this one lady came up to me, and she just starts, like, she was, like, talking to me about this and that. And she just kept talking because, like, she knew that I was gonna stand there. Like, I can't, like, leave. And so I just pretended to get a phone call, and I left, and was like, "Oh, my friend's here, sorry, I have to go by," and then like ran away. But luckily I haven't gotten actually to the door of the cults, but I've read like Reddit stories of people who have, and it sounds really fucking scary.
Oh my god. No, it's scary. But like, you get like brainwashed. That was the part that was interesting to me, was the brainwashing, you know, because like they make you feel like you have purpose. And I was like, "Oh, that sounds interesting. Maybe I would like that, actually."
I know, right? Like, that sounds kind of nice, actually.
Wait, have you heard about the Final Fantasy house? We were just talking about that recently. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't remember all of it, but I do remember it's like a weird like sex thing, right?
Yes, but it's also a cult. It was like this girl and she had basically cultivated a bunch of people and convinced them that they all were like, you know, kinning. They were like, they were supposed to be like reborn alternate dimension versions of Final Fantasy characters, but they basically were like kinning. And so they'd be like, oh yeah, I'm Cloud or I'm Zack and I'm Genova.
I'm Sephiroth.
And... yeah, exactly. Well, she was, I think the main girl was Genova.
Oh.
Yeah. So she was evil. And I think that was her whole thing, was like she was aware that
she was literally evil.
Yeah, but like her whole thing is like, oh, she has like, you know, sometimes she has outbursts of evil, but she's not always evil and she needs help because she's evil. And their whole thing was they would go up to people and tell people that it's like a cult where they're like, oh, we'll teach you how to control your power and unlock the magic. Yeah, your chi, the magic within you. And like, look, you're so powerful that you have so much potential and you can be like Cloud in Final Fantasy VII because that's who you are. Leah, that's who you are.
I am Cloud in Final Fantasy VII.
That's who you are, and your true potential has not been unlocked yet. Yeah. Oh, insane. Crazy people. Scary.
I feel like if I was in that situation, my brain rot would take over though, and I'd be like, Cloud and Sephiroth, now you guys kiss.
Well, I think they did, right?
So that's what happened.
Well, that's where the sexy part came in, was I think they were all banging each other.
Oh my god.
It was like an orgy house, I think. And it wasn't canon. Like, Genova shouldn't be banging anyone canonically, right? She's technically like a god or something. She's like a machine? God machine?
I kind of thought she was like CRISPR.
I don't remember the lore exactly. I
don't remember the lore either.
But either way, right? She was like, she's not supposed to be banging nobody, but she was banging everybody there. So she was banging Aerith. She was banging Zack. She was banging, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them.
I think she even banged Cid.
I think if there was like a good cult to join though.
Flying Spaghetti.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's like one of the most ethical ones, right?
Yeah. That one seems pretty chill.
List of cults. There was that one cult on TikTok where they were like in like a band. No, they were like, they had like a bus. It was like the school bus cult.
School bus cult.
Okay. It went crazy. Like, it all collapsed very messily.
Uh-oh.
Let's see. Governmental list of cults. Ooh.
There's a governmental list of cults.
Yeah, but not for America.
No.
Ooh.
Well, it's okay. Encyclopedic. You know what the best cult is to join? It's the cult of Leah, where everyone has Leah fever and we will not let her die alone.
Join my cult. We'll start a commune and we'll live off the land escape from the capitalist hellscape.
She's going to sell you produce.
We can sell produce. Yeah. You know what? We can make hot sauce.
Is hot sauce easy to make?
I have a recipe.
Really? You make your own hot sauce?
Mm-hmm. My family hot sauce. It's really yummy.
Wait, I want to try it.
I'll let you try it. I'll bring it to whatever next time we see each other. Whatever next event when we'll see each other, I'll bring it.
Wow, it's that's very crazy. Good. Well, I had no idea.
I think selling pickles could be very profitable.
Okay, wait. We're going back to the frequency bit. I have a question.
Sorry.
Would you ever eat food off of another human's body?
I've already taken body shots in high school.
What is a body shot?
I'm so glad you asked, Leora. A body shot is where the person who is the quote unquote glass lays down on their back.
Okay.
And they expose their belly button.
You drink it out of their belly button?
Yes.
Okay, whose belly button did you drink out of?
My high school best friend that I had a crush on.
That's crazy.
Being bisexual is so tough.
It is tough. I also had a crush on a female friend in high school, and I actually told her.
There's something about that, right? Like, there's something like where you're at that age. Yeah. And you just have the most toxic like romance with a girl that you never date.
Yeah, I actually had that, and she was very straight, which is, you know, that is just
that's the worst part.
That's how the cookie crumbles, so as they say. Yeah. But okay, I don't think I could do a body shot. Going back to the body shot, I'm still thinking about the body shot.
Okay, sorry, yeah.
It's like a sanitary thing. Okay, wait, you, wait. I've talked about this. Out. Leah, would you say that your belly button is like...
Is that it's clean?
No, see, my belly button is really deep.
Oh. I guess I can see how deep my belly button is.
I can't see the end of my belly button.
Well, that's like normal.
Is it?
I feel like, okay, so... My belly button's maybe like a centimeter and a half.
Wait, have you heard of belly button surgery that they do for K-pop idols?
No. What?
You know how like when anime characters are drawn like VTuber models, when you look at their belly button, it's like a slit that is vertical.
Mm-hmm.
But some people have belly buttons that are circles or are horizontal slit. So they will have... Surgically, they will make it to that slit that is vertical.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Why?
Because it looks more aesthetically pleasing, I guess.
Korean plastic surgery is like, it's on a whole nother level.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. Like, that society, they've got it figured out.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That's crazy.
Would you ever get plastic surgery?
Yes.
I would too.
Great.
Okay, what would you
what like, would I change?
Yeah, what would you I change? I mean, you don't have to talk about it if it's something that's like, oh, I have a complex about this, but is there anything that's more like superficial? Like, I get a boob job, for example.
I would get a breast reduction. Yeah.
I have considered that as well.
I feel like there's so many outfits that look way better without
Wait,
boobs.
I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah, I feel like they get in the way.
Yes, and they just don't look right.
It's just too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It also just doesn't look really good in dresses. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Honestly, I think that what we should do is tell the fashion designers to change how they design.
Yeah.
Instead of saying we should get rid of our big old boobs.
That's true. I think... My boobs, as I've gotten older, have...
My boobs.
I feel like it's weird, though. My bra size hasn't changed, but they don't feel as big as they did when I was younger. And I don't know if it's just like a perception thing, but...
You know what? I'm going to be very honest right now.
Yeah.
I feel like mine aren't as perky as they used to be when I was in college.
Oh my gosh. I was bra shopping with my mom the other day. Like literally a couple weeks ago, we were bra shopping because I was like, I need a new bra. And so we were at Victoria's Secret because I like Victoria's Secret bras. And my mom...
But you know, they size them wrong, right?
They... I don't know. I've basically been buying Victoria's Secret bras almost my entire life because anytime I've tried a different bra brand, they just don't, they're not one as comfortable, and two, they just don't last as long. One of these Victoria's Secret bras that I've had, I have worn for about 10 years. I'm really good at taking care of my stuff, but like, yeah, it's like still really good. Like there's nothing wrong with it and the wires haven't poked out and it's like, yeah. Nope. So that's why I trust them. That's why I just buy Victoria's Secret bras because I buy bras and I never have to buy them again.
10 years. 10 years. Bra.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy. They go long. What can I say?
That's crazy.
Again, I'm like pretty good at taking care of my clothes. I have a lot of clothes that's like really old, but I think the thing. So at Victoria's Secret, my mom was like, we were looking at the bras and I was like, oh, I kind of want this one. It's like slightly push up. And my mom goes, your boobs are already big. Why do you need a push up? And I was telling her, Mom, if I don't wear a push up, my boobs look saggy because they are big.
Oh my God.
They look saggy because they are big. If they weren't big, they wouldn't look saggy and I wouldn't need a push up. I'm not getting a push up to make them look bigger. I'm getting a push up to make them look like a circle and not
perky.
like a used condom or something. I don't know.
I don't think that's not how boobs are, right?
Yeah.
Like all boobs are beautiful. They all come in different shapes and sizes and sag.
And sag.
The three, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if I got plastic surgery, maybe a boob job.
Yeah.
Well, I would also maybe get a nose job.
Oh, and that's fair. That's fair.
Because, like, I have a deviated septum, so if they're going in there already, like, might as well make it a little smaller, right? Like...
Yeah, no, I heard that's really annoying to, like, sleep with and stuff, too.
So, no, I, like, can't breathe half the time.
Yeah, it would, like, actually make your life probably a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, my nose isn't, like, bad. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
But, like... It could be smaller.
Sure.
That's the one thing, like, I guess, like, if you're already in there.
Yeah. You're already going
at
it.
Go ahead and you're an artist. I trust you.
My face is your canvas.
Exactly. Everything else I love about my face. Maybe like I have dark circles under my eyes from not sleeping enough. So I don't think those are ever going away.
No, that's my vice is I have really like intense dark circles, and it's like the kind that like are sinking in underneath, you know. I feel like too. I don't know if there's a surgery to get I'm sure there is. There must be. There's surgery for everything.
It could be. Do you have allergies?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not seasonal?
No, not seasonal.
Oh, then maybe you just don't sleep enough.
Yeah, maybe I just need plastic surgery.
Yeah, or something. We didn't say that. Oh my god. We were You're like, maybe I'm just like ugly and I should change
maybe.
This.
Yeah, maybe.
Wait, we had a question we needed to address at the beginning of the stream that we didn't address.
Yes, we're deviating.
We've already gone off topic 10 times. In this show, I anticipate coming across topics that may be uncomfortable. And as such, I am doing my due diligence here to establish, should we have a safe word and what should our safe word be?
Right.
And chat, what do you think our safe word should be? Audience participation time. What should our safe word be?
What should our safe word be? If there is a topic that we do not feel comfortable talking about.
Sounding
is crazy.
It can't be something that we're going to talk about, chat.
No, yeah.
So
it has
can't
to be
say
something
sound
off. That's crazy.
Muted.
Oh my god.
Sawdust never comes up in any conversation. Well, actually, have you ever eaten sawdust?
I can't say
there's like a
that I have.
There's a percentage of sawdust that you can put into food without noticing.
Like intentionally?
Yeah, like as a filler.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I may have eaten sawdust just naturally.
Cellulose? Cellulose could be. It could be.
Sound off is actually kind of, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny. Viagra. I feel like we'll talk about that at some point.
Yeah.
Do you think that if you keep using Viagra and your dick is hard, like, and you're having like, you know, an intense session, do you think that it still feels good?
When you, wait.
Like if you're like forcing it
you
up.
Say that again.
If you're forcing it up with Viagra, do you think it still feels good?
I don't know. I don't have a penis. Yeah. I think at some point you probably become numb to it, right?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, like, I'm thinking if, like, if you're jorking and if you're a girl, because we don't have penises, so we can't compare
True.
With But if you're, like, just jorking and if you were to jork for, like, 12 hours straight and you weren't horny anymore, I feel like it would just hurt.
So if you were gooning. No, there is a point where I think the dick will start to hurt. I think, like, if you come too much as a guy, your dick probably starts to hurt, right?
Can you like run out?
Chat, can you run out?
Can you run out?
Can you run out?
Is that possible?
Like, I feel like you have to generate more, right? That's what a refractory period is. Yes, they're saying you can run out.
You can run out.
It's connected to hydration.
Okay, so.
You dehydrate. I can't believe you dehydrate.
You dehydrate. So you just like literally turn into like a fucking skeleton.
Yeah. Wait, so the question was, do you think that when you have Viagra and your dick is hard, first of all, if your dick is hard for longer than 4 hours on Viagra, call your doctor immediately. It's literally on the box.
It says that. Yeah, careful.
It's on the box. But in the event that you have a natural boner for like 5 hours first and then you pop a Viagra afterwards, because
exactly.
Like, I don't know, you're fucking insane.
Yeah. This is a long night.
At some point, don't you become like numb to it?
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
Yeah.
Or is it like it just keeps feeling good? I don't know. See, I think hentai has brainwashed me. I feel like in my brain, because it's
hentai, like, oh, you can fuck for like 25 hours straight.
It seems like
you
a good idea.
You can fuck for 7 days straight. And you don't have to. I think that you are a little bit porn brain rotted.
I am porn brain rotted.
Yeah, you're porn brained.
Yeah. Did you see that? My friend told me about this recently. There was apparently a case where a girl was bouncing too hard and it snapped the guy's dick in half.
She broke it.
Yeah. And I mean, apparently it's fine. It ended up recovering, but then he couldn't fully get it hard for like 4 months straight or something.
How much of that do you think is emotional trauma? No, because doesn't it play a big part? Like, you have to, like, be mentally there, right?
It's a skill issue. Or like, are you saying physical skill issue?
It's not necessarily a skill issue. I'm saying this is a serious issue, Leora. He's emotionally broken. His dick broke. And thus, so did his heart. Their penises are very important to them, Leora.
He got skill issue. That's crazy. That's crazy.
The heart and the dick are connected. Yes, exactly. I hope he got better.
Yeah.
But it's definitely like a physical therapy thing, right?
Okay, like, in that case, we're going full circle. His dick is broken. He can't get hard. It's emotional trauma. Do you think the Viagra could fix him?
No. No. I think we need like a therapist for that one. I think a therapist. And like, oh, what about like ketamine?
It's crazy.
I think ketamine might do it because, like, well, it's used to like process trauma, but it's also like destroying the fabric of our society.
Sure.
So, like, I think maybe like in small doses, right, under the direction of a doctor.
Sure.
Right.
What do you think physical therapy is like for that?
For their dick?
Yeah. Do you think they have physical therapy?
I'm sure you've read a couple of doujins about it.
I haven't, though, actually.
Really?
Surprisingly,
really, you haven't seen like the like caretaker. Ones.
I've seen
there's always like a caretaker when you're like when you broke your arm or whatever, and it's like, oh no, your friend has to jerk you off now.
Oh, I have seen that one. You know, you're right. But I haven't seen it where they've broken their dick. I think that's a little bit different. I have seen a lot of the ones where it's like girls that it's usually straight ones and it's woman oriented hentai, where it's like the girl had a really bad sexual experience where like emotionally traumatizing. Or she had like a really crazy ex-boyfriend that was really bad to her or was really bad at sex. And then she goes to like a masseuse to like...
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of those. Those have been pretty popular recently, I feel like.
Yeah.
But
I think it's popular with women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they just like... They're not like sexually doing anything to her, but they're like stimulating certain parts of her that makes her sexually stimulated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 So true. I have another question before. It is back to our original discussion.
Yes.
Actually, this is a better topic though. You know the Omegaverse, right?
Yes, of course.
Are you an alpha, a beta, or an omega?
I am, unfortunately, an omega. How about you?
I took the test and it told me I'm an alpha.
I could see it.
But I don't believe it.
I could see you're like a I could see you being like a power bottom type.
I feel like I just got clocked. She just fucking clocked. Yeah, you seem like a bit of a power bottom.
Okay, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
No, I know exactly what you mean. That's the worst part.
Yeah. But usually if you're a power bottom, I think they call you like a assertive omega. And then like, but if you could be like the other way around, it's like a submissive alpha.
Yeah.
But I got fucking submissive omega. So I'm the bottomiest of
That's
the bottoms.
So submissive and breedable.
Just absolutely bottom of the barrel, truly.
Certainly a bottom.
The bottomest of bottoms.
Someone explain omega. Okay, wait. So for those of you uninitiated, alpha, beta, omega, what's the Omegaverse? I'm so glad you asked. The Omegaverse is an alternate universe for fan fiction where there are like three secondary genders in addition to like the normal like male-female stuff, right? And it's like you can be a male and also an omega, and then that means you can get butt pregnant.
Yeah.
Actually, the location of where your male uterus is depends on the fan fiction. Because sometimes they grow a new hole for birth.
A lot of the fan fiction sometimes will, a lot of the more established ones will even give you a fucking diagram.
Yeah.
Of how it works.
Yeah, they tell you. Mm-hmm. It depends on the author. Yeah, the yaoi hole. New hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, they establish a new hole. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Omegaverse is. Sorry, I know that there's some people who don't have the same amount of brain rot as us. So what we're saying is that Leora can get super pregnant.
Uber pregnant.
And then I, as a woman, can get...
You can impregnate.
Leora pregnant.
True. This was actually, this stream was it's a psyop. This was just,
it's just Leah getting me pregnant, the stream.
I'm like, how can I imprint on this woman?
To recap, the alpha is the one that gets people pregnant. The omega is the one that can get pregnant. And usually betas are like second class citizens and they're kind of normies. Like normal. Yeah, like quote unquote normal. So they can impregnate and get pregnant with each other, but it's usually more limited to like they can only do it with each other. Betas can only like make babies with other betas and the alphas and omegas have to like mate together. That's usually the dynamic.
Poseidon, thank you for the raid.
Oh, I was asking Poseidon earlier. The reason why that question came up earlier was I asked her if she would eat her own placenta because she said she was having...
Yeah, that's the question of the day. That's the question of the day.
I asked her because she said she was having salmon for dinner. And I said, is that cannibalism? And she said, no. And I said, okay, if it's not cannibalism, then technically, isn't it like the equivalent of eating your placenta? If you are... the ocean and you're eating salmon, it's kind of like eating your own placenta.
I think it's more like eating like the skin off of your fingertips.
I guess so,
because like if she was eating the placenta, what would like a god's placenta be like? I don't know, like an island.
Oh, maybe. Yeah,
you know, like it's got to be significant.
That's true. I guess salmon are pretty insignificant in the grand scheme of things.
I do think it is a valid question to ask every woman if they would eat their placenta.
I know some people also like save the umbilical cord, right? So
yeah, there's stem cells in there that are good, like in case something goes wrong later on. So you can freeze it and use it for like medical issues later on.
Oh, not for eating.
I don't know that you eat the umbilical cord. There's a reason why you eat the placenta.
It's like a health thing, right? I've heard a lot of people talk about like benefits
There's
for it.
A lot of nutrients in it that you lose during pregnancy, because part of the horrors of pregnancy, right, is that you put all of this investment into growing this thing, right, this organism, and then like that leaves your body, right? So a lot of women have issues like vitamin deficiencies. That's why we see so many like prenatal vitamins being taken by pregnant women, and like why after birth a lot of new moms will have dental problems they never had because their calcium deposits are lower. Because they gave all their fucking calcium to the babies. Your bones become weak. Exactly. So the reason why you eat the placenta is because the placenta has a lot of like the nutrients that you lose by growing the baby, because it's like...
Yeah, but do you even really regain it by eating it? Would you say?
I mean, listen, I want to believe that you do. I think the rational scientist in me is like, no, you don't really, it's not really that good for you.
Right.
But like emotionally, I feel like there's something carnal about eating the placenta that feels like you're taking something back for yourself.
Oh, I see.
You know?
So I take that as a yes, you would eat the placenta.
I would eat my placenta.
Yeah.
Gladly. If I had a placenta to eat.
What form would you take it in?
Probably pills.
Okay. So not...
Because you can get it in different ways, right? So like some people will eat it like
soup.
Raw.
Raw?
Yeah.
So
you think soup? I've never heard soup before.
Yeah, that's like a... I've heard soup's like a cultural thing.
Oh.
No,
I'm American. How do I get a placenta burger? Placenta burger is an interesting concept. Because you could... But it's supposed to taste like liver, right?
I don't know what it's supposed to taste like.
I feel like I know way too much about
this. I can't
this.
Say that I know what it's supposed to taste like.
It's very rich in nutrients.
But I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could eat the placenta. I have eaten many weird things. Like, I have eaten, like, chicken. I have eaten, essentially, chicken placenta. Because...
Oh, wait. It's like, you ate, what's it called? The balut?
It's kind of like balut, but it's pre... There's no baby in there. It's before... It's like a stage before that. So it's...
Oh.
It's like... It looks like an fertilized. Egg yolk. But it's weird. It looks like an egg yolk without any of the egg white. And it's like this big ball. and it explodes in your mouth when you eat it. It's very, it was not pleasant.
Uh-huh.
And so I've tried many weird things. I've even had raw chicken before, like chicken sashimi.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I could eat my own placenta. I think...
Would you eat somebody else's placenta? No, I'm taking that as a no. What if it's not your placenta?
I think I could eat the...
Is that...
I think I could eat the placenta of an animal, but I don't think I could eat the placenta of another person. Yeah, it does feel like cannibalism.
Mm.
It does feel like cannibalism. I think even eating my own placenta feels a little bit like cannibalism. And I don't think... I think that's what's weird about it.
It's auto cannibalism, though.
Yeah.
Which means that it's ethical. I don't know. It's one of the only ethical ways to eat a human organ,
it
right?
It is the only ethical way to eat a human organ.
Well, what if there was also ethical cannibalism? If you knew that it was completely ethically sourced and that the person consented completely to it, and in fact, it was part of like their funeral proceedings to get people to cannibalize them later, would you eat people meat?
No, because I think I have like a weird thing about that. Like, for example, I have had the opportunity to eat horse. And I feel really weird about eating horse and bear.
Yeah.
Even though those were both also, I don't know about ethically, but in the country of origin, it was the way that it was prepared.
Yeah, it's like, or like culturally, yeah.
Yeah, or like in Korea, there are certain places, really difficult to find nowadays, but there are places where you can eat dog. That's like a thing that you can still eat like today. Like if you flew there and you found the right place, you could go and eat dog. And it would be culturally, ethically, like however they prepare it and source.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do that. Yeah. I don't think I could do that. I think there's something about like horses and
dogs are better than people, though. That's my thing. It's like I could maybe eat like a bad person, but I couldn't eat a dog because all dogs are good.
Yes, that is true. But I don't think I could eat a bad person either.
Really? What if they like really sucked?
No, I'd be glad that they were dead, but I wouldn't be able to eat them. I think that's like a two different things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Yeah, I think there's just something about like eating certain meats that, and there's no rational, like you're absolutely right. There's no rational reason for why I would eat cow but not horse, right? Or I've eaten buffalo and I've eaten snake and rabbit, but I won't
eat. It's socialization,
yeah,
right?
I think like, there's just like a weird mental block for me for that.
Yeah.
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 That's all it is.
Eating people. Yeah. No, it is a dangerous game to eat people. And so I would never do it in reality.
Sure.
But in theory.
In theory. We're talking about all
in theory.
Like if you had a zombie apocalypse and your only method of survival was your best friend next to you just died and you could eat them to survive. And that's really your only choice. Like, would you do that?
No, I would probably just
die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
I have like zero survival instincts.
Me too. I've said this before, but if a zombie apocalypse happened, the first thing I'm doing is jumping. Like,
true.
I'm gonna be a burden.
What if they fix it? What if they fix it?
No, I'm not surviving till that happens. There's no way.
I feel like I would hop on a boat.
No,
there's no zombies in the ocean, right?
Yeah, but how are you gonna survive? You're gonna get scurvy.
There's fish in the ocean.
You're gonna get scurvy.
Okay, well, I hadn't thought about the scurvy yet. I can figure out the scurvy. There's ways for me to figure out the scurvy.
It's
right?
I don't know. I think I am too mentally weak. I don't think I'd survive. Yeah. Like, even on a boat, I think I wouldn't survive on a boat, you know?
Mm.
I wouldn't make it out. No, absolutely not.
Yeah. It's hard. I feel like I would need, like, another person with me to be able to survive.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Alone is, there's no way.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of scary. Like the male fantasy to survive alone, though.
Yeah. I think that's like, well, you remember that best-selling book that was like the zombie apocalypse survival guide or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that it really genuinely is something that men desire.
Right. I mean, obviously, right? Not all men.
But, they want to feel, I think there's something that like, it's like a task for them to accomplish that I think they have been separated from in our society.
Mm.
right,
like because by before we used to like rely on that sort of instinct.
We would
that
do like labor just to live, you would grow your own food, you were very attached to like you know your means of survival, and I feel like we've kind of lost that. Anyway, in my commune you guys can find that sense of meaning again.
Look, if you join Leah's cult, she will give you purpose again.
I will give you purpose.
You can live out your zombie apocalypse fantasies.
Labor.
She'll even make some fake zombies for you to chase you around while you go hunt.
I guess on the same note, what are the things that scare you about like birth or like pregnancy in general, right? Like obviously like you would not eat, well, wait, did you answer the question? You said you wouldn't eat your placenta.
No, I would not.
So you got me all riled up about this placenta eating situation.
Yeah,
just to be like, no, I'm not gonna eat the placenta.
Well, I was curious about your take on the phenomenon in general.
You know who ate their placenta? Kim Kardashian.
She did. I mean, that sounds like something she would do, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by that, actually. Wait, but then did she... Sorry, I was like, didn't she have a surrogate? But no, that was...
She had
like some of her own kids,
One of them was, like, natural or something. Right. And then she found out she was, like, I don't remember. She's probably something with, like, gestational diabetes or something.
Yeah, I think she had some problem... health problem,
some complications. No, that's interesting. But you wouldn't eat any sort of
breast milk. Is another good question. Would you try your own breast milk?
Yes, I've drank in my sister's.
You've drank in your sister's?
Mm-hmm. I tried it. She said she wanted me to try it, so I tried it.
What did it taste like?
I have some in my freezer.
You have some in your freezer?
Yeah, for content for later.
You're gonna drink your sister's breast milk on stream?
Yeah,
that's crazy. I mean, I'm excited for that stream. I'll watch. Wait, but also, okay, what's your take on,
like?
What's your taste on breast milk? Is it overhyped? Do men have a, you know, like, because it's kind of the fantasy, right? Like a lot of hentai and stuff, because I'm hentai brained. Mm. Like a lot of the,
so porn brained.
I'm so porn brained. There's a lot of fantasy around it, right? And even I, at this point, after having consumed so much hentai, I'm like, maybe it tastes good. Maybe they're onto something. You know what I mean?
It tastes like a little sweeter than normal milk, but it's kind of like buttermilk almost. It's very creamy.
Oh.
Depends on the person and their diet too, because that really impacts, like you can taste like the food that they ate.
It's kind of like cum.
Yeah. I guess.
That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. Okay, wait. I have a funny story actually.
Yeah.
I have a friend and she was sleeping with this guy and she told me, and I'm not I'm not joking, she said this, and I obviously can't confirm, but she told me that vegan cum is better than regular cum. That's what she told me. She actually told me that. I don't, like, how is it better? I don't know. But she said that she was dating this guy and he was like completely vegan and said that it was like, because prior to that, she had had regular cum, but it was like, you know, like nasty or whatever. You just have to force it down or whatever. You spit it out or whatever.
Yeah.
This guy, she was like, it actually was like bearable. Like it was actually not bad. That's what she said.
Okay. To add on to that, I have another additional question. Is cum vegan?
No. Okay, but the whole point of like a lot about the veganism is, while it's a dietary thing, it's also kind of a political thing, right? It has a lot to do with the ethics and the morality of the way you're sourcing it. So I think if the person who is excreting said cum wants you to drink it, wouldn't you say that that's technically ethical?
Sure.
Then I feel like, you know, it's kind of like, you know,
ethical cum. ethical cannibalism.
Anyway, I thought that was an interesting I don't know if I don't have any
different, I guess.
I don't have like a more, the sample size is very small. I don't have more data to provide, and I also don't have data to provide if like that's the same for like women's excrements as well.
I
you know,
I don't know. and my only frame of reference would be inappropriate for me to ask. Because my sister was vegan for like 10 years, but I can't ask her if her shit was like better.
I don't want to know.
I do not want to know that shit. I already know that she had sex at least once to make her baby. So like, I don't need to think any further.
It's just a question. This is a general question, right? Yeah. I wonder if men are ever curious enough to, I'm sure there must be some, but like how large of a percentage are curious enough to taste their own?
I think every man has tasted their cum, and if they haven't, then they're lying.
Really? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, 100%. I've never like licked my fingers after jorkin.
I think you're lying to me.
What? I haven't.
I think you're lying.
Which
to
is
me.
Why I think that you're men have my face. Okay, well, Leah, no. I'm sorry, but all this is reading as this is confession from you.
Oh my god.
Unfortunately, I think all this does is out you, because I have never done that before, and that's why I asked, because I haven't done that. So surely there's a percentage of people, of men, who haven't done that. So that's why I asked. However, this seems like you have outed yourself, unfortunately.
I said nothing, and I refuse to say more. In America, we have this thing. Uh-huh. Called the Fifth Amendment. Uh-huh. And under the Fifth Amendment, you're allowed to not incriminate yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Unless you literally just out yourself, whether that be by accident or not. I'm just saying, in a court of justice.
What would be so wrong with
that?
There is
even, nothing
though.
Wrong with it.
Like,
just,
it's my body. What? Yeah, you never sniffed your nose up and then tasted your own snot in the back of your throat?
I'm not like, saying there's anything wrong with it.
You never tasted your own tears.
But I do think you're getting incredibly defensive about it.
It's normal.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, which is why I asked the question. But I do think.
Yeah, keep going. Keep going. Keep going, Leora.
I just think it's very, interesting. I have sniffed my fingers, and I have also used a mirror once to see what it looks like, because I can't see it.
You're okay.
That's about the furthest that I've gone in terms of self-discovery with.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't like the idea of it. I think it's that whole thing again about how I wouldn't eat my own placenta. It comes back to that. I think there's just something about ingesting my own, like, you know, I've never.
Do you think you're just not very comfortable with your own body?
I want to say that that's not true, but honestly, okay, but I think, okay, you know what it is? I think it's bigger than that. I think I don't like human bodies in general, like real life bodies.
You're like, I think that everybody should be anime girls, actually.
Yeah, like, actually, though. I think I genuinely am only attracted to two-dimensional women. Like, I physically, if I look at a naked body, I'm grossed out, including my own. And that's why I only consume hentai, because I don't want to see a real vagina. Or a penis, for that fact. But
yeah, that's fair. I wonder if it feels safer because of the levels of obscurity between you and the
my waifu
porn too. Yeah,
yeah,
like it feels safe because you can never attain her.
Yeah,
and also she can never leave you.
I think it's also like a weird, like, so I have like there's two things that I can think of off the top of my head. One, it's like a hygiene thing. I think I get really weird and icky about certain things. I definitely do not have OCD, because I have friends who actually have OCD. But I do think that I have certain things that I can be a little bit of a germaphobe about. And some of that has to do with body fluids. Like, swapping body fluids is really, like, not... That is the most, like... It does not seem...
Well, that's why you've never tasted your own...
Exactly. Like,
stuff.
I think there's just, like, something about body fluids is just not... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, not appealing for me.
Yeah.
And then... So, when I see it happen in hentai, it's in black and white. I don't even read colored hentai, because even that is, like... I'm not even joking.
It's too much.
It's too much. So,
it's too much.
Unless it looks really cartoony. But there's a certain level of, like, seeing fluids that makes me uncomfortable. And then I think the second thing is just aesthetically, I don't think vaginas or penises or the naked body is attractive. Like, I'm just not attracted to it. But an anime naked body, I am attracted to. Because it's obviously drawn, like, in a way that's supposed to be attractive, right? So
I was that way. until I went off of birth control.
And then you became attracted to, like...
I literally did not think that human men with, like, a physical form mm-hmm. were attractive. I thought that they just, like, I just, you know, had to suck it up mm-hmm. and deal with it. Mm-hmm. But then I got off of my birth control and I thought that guys were attractive again in person.
That's crazy. I have... I've been off birth control for the last maybe 5 years, I would say. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it hasn't really changed.
It hasn't happened for you.
No, no. Yeah. Actually, I think I'm more attracted to 2D women than I have ever been now in my before. Entire
really?
Life right now. Oh. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't drink breast milk?
No, because it doesn't sound hygienic either.
So none of this. You come onto the podcast and you're like, would you drink this? Would you eat this? Would you do this? I'm not doing any of that.
No, I'm not. But I see. Okay. But to be fair, Leah, you know what? I expected. You know what I expected from this conversation? I thought yeah. when I would say, would you eat your own placenta? You would say no. And then we would both talk about the phenomenon of eating a placenta. That's what I thought this was going to turn into.
Sorry, I want to eat my placenta.
No, you know what?
Here, I can pretend like I don't want
no,
to, though,
no.
so we can have that conversation, Leah.
No,
if you
no,
want.
No. I'm happy for you. And I think that has made for a more interesting conversation. So you know what? It's
well,
all
it's
for the
like
better.
I ever can, though. Like, I feel like I'm cock blocked by never wanting to have kids.
Yeah, I mean, that is true.
I'm being placenta blocked.
You are being placenta blocked. That is absolutely true. But.
And so I think that somebody else should let me eat. Their placenta.
Wait, yeah, so you would eat somebody else's placenta though, right?
I would eat.
Would you eat your sister's
you know
placenta?
What? No.
But would you eat a Too random close. Stranger's placenta?
If they were vetted.
Okay. Like they had like a clean health bill.
Like
and
if there
everything.
Was like a service like where I could Uber Eats.
Yes. You could Uber Eats
like a,
someone's
like
placenta.
A placenta pill.
That is insane.
Yeah. If I could Uber Eats the placenta and I don't have to like talk to a person about it just to like experience it.
That's insane. Would you ever? Okay, wait. Here's actually another interesting question.
Yeah.
Would you ever donate your eggs? Say that you're
oh,
in
I have a, funny story about this. So when I got out of college, okay. I was like, how can I make some money
uh-oh.
Fast?
Uh-oh. Is there
and
a
so
baby Leah among us somewhere? Like a baby
no.
Leah is running around?
Okay. I had just gotten my like ADHD diagnosis like a couple of years beforehand. Okay. And I was pretty upfront about it, which I probably shouldn't have been because I learned afterwards that actually every egg donor just lies.
Wait, what?
About their like mental health history.
Oh.
So like I would not have been applicable to sell my eggs because I have
ADHD.
The I don't remember things disease.
But you tried to.
I thought, yeah, I tried. I called the place oh. and I was like, hey, would this be like an option for me? I know like I don't have like I'm very smart. Like I have like
right.
a degree. Yeah. I'm in like a PhD program or whatever the fuck. And they were like, no.
Oh.
You have ADHD. We don't want your eggs. And I'm like, okay, I'm perfectly fine. I have like, I'm like beautiful. And like,
you're like knocking
would,
at the door
they
like,
would
take
be
my
honored
eggs.
To, you could have my eggs if you wanted them and you could give me $10,000 per egg. But I guess you don't want to. So I would, but they did not want my eggs.
That's crazy. Do you think you could call like a different place now and donate them?
I don't know how many eggs I got left, Leora.
Surely. I mean,
you
have
think I got
at least one. You could donate that one.
Yeah, just
you don't
the
need
one.
It.
That's actually...
You don't need it. Are you saving that for something or what?
You know, you're only born with a certain amount of eggs.
Oh, you have a finite
like,
number
all
of
the eggs.
Eggs.
When you're born, you have a finite number of eggs already in you.
Okay.
And like over time, like the quality of your eggs just goes down.
Oh.
So I don't know how high quality my eggs are anymore.
I see.
Yeah. Donating eggs in this economy. That's what I'm saying. Like
this is another question that I would say no to. But I think my answer is pretty interesting. I think I'd be really freaking afraid of like people knocking on my door and you know and being like I wanted to meet the person that I've been birthed from. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, no. Like,
I had nothing to do with you. Yeah,
and I do not want to know that you exist. Like, I would like to live the rest of my life and die without knowing that you exist. And I think I would, like, go every day thinking, like, is there a little Leora out there right now somewhere? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would not be able to sleep at night. I don't think I could sleep at night.
Yeah.
That would actually keep me up. That would scare me.
Yeah. And like the fertility industry as a whole is like pretty like unethical too.
Oh,
like,
my God. Wait, did you hear about that guy?
Yeah. Who has like 100 kids. Yes. They reused the same Jewish sperm 100 times.
Didn't he actually like also like have intercourse with the bodies or the like, you know, like with people who are under?
Oh, you're talking about the doctor who did
it. Yeah.
Not the like sperm donor that they used a bajillion times.
No, I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah. There's like this one sperm donor that like specifically Jewish families would use.
Oh.
Because they wanted like, I don't know. Like they wanted whatever. It in the, you do what you want.
Right. I guess they wanted
like the blood.
Yeah.
And so like there's like hundreds of kids with the same dad and they're finding each other through 23andMe.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, that's how this other doctor got found out too, because it was 23andMe.
The doctor who like just replaced the sperm with his sperm. It's so weird.
I know.
He probably just thought he could get away with it too. Because like back then they didn't have this shit.
He did for a long time. For a very long, because they were pretty old at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Luckily, eggs don't have the same issues that sperm do. Right. Because you guys just be jorking it all over the place and that stuff gets everywhere. So like eggs, they're very self-contained.
Right.
Very expensive, very precious. Because it's very expensive to like buy an egg.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's also a really, like you said, meticulous process in who's allowed to even donate one, right? So.
Yeah, what the fuck?
No ADHD eggs.
I just wanted the money. I was like, what if I could buy a house sooner by selling my eggs? But if you do that, you can freeze your eggs too.
I heard the process is pretty painful too.
It's pretty intensive.
Yeah. I heard that it's a very invasive process and they have to like scrape it out of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to like be on hormones or whatever and then they like take a bunch out of you and then you do it again or whatever the fuck. It's very intense.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I think the question you asked was, what about like pregnancy or childbirth?
Yeah,
like,
what about birth or pregnancy scares you the most?
I think all of it scares me though. I think all of like actually like if I were rich and I could have a surrogate, I might even consider it a little bit more than
really.
Not. I mean, I don't think I'm mentally well enough to have children. I think that's the biggest problem. I think I can barely fucking take care of myself. Like, you think I can take care of children? Like, absolutely not. Like, I have a mental breakdown when my cat drops a mug that I really like. Like, I cannot have children. Like, I'm not in a mental place for that. But
yeah.
But I think not only is that a big problem, but I do think the physical thing about pregnancy, all of it is so terrifying, right?
Have you watched Twilight?
I have, but it's been a very, very, very long time.
Did you see the movies where she had the baby?
No, I didn't see the movies where she had the baby. I heard about it.
Okay.
Because doesn't it try to
There's like
claw
this whole
out of her?
Horror scene. Yeah. Yes, it tries to bite its way out. But that's not the horrifying part.
Oh.
The horrifying part is how like it like breaks her bones.
Huh?
My sister was pregnant pretty recently, which is why I have the breast milk.
Right.
She had her baby last year. Mm-hmm. And when she was pregnant, she was sick and you can't take medicine when you're pregnant.
Right.
Right. Like almost every medicine you cannot take while you're pregnant.
Right.
Because like they just are afraid of it impacting the baby. Right. Right. And she got sick. And so she was coughing a lot. There was nothing she could do to like help herself. Like she couldn't take antibiotics to get rid of like the cold. And when she coughed, her ribs would pop. And so at some point, like she had us like hold her ribs in so she could cough comfortably without her ribs moving.
Dude, that's insane.
It's fucking insane, right?
Yeah, or like how
it's
like
crazy
your pelvic whatever thing like separates and shit and like all of that is just absolutely terrifying. I would, no, I don't think I could do that.
And then it comes out and it's like crying.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
Like, come on, man. Like, I'm upset. You're upset. I'm upset. It's a whole, like, it's a very upsetting situation.
It's
you know?
The thing, though. If you have baby fever and you really want a baby, I feel like all of that is really small, right? It's, like, really insignificant to the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. But if you already don't mm-hmm. want a child, every single yeah. extra step there is, like, it's just the worst thing you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. There's no way.
I feel like you gotta really want it,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. That shit is so ass. Like, anytime you hear about people's pregnancy journeys, like postnatal, like hair loss, all that shit, like, nah, like, I'm okay. I think I'm okay.
Oh my God. My sister started losing her hair too yeah. after the baby came out. Yeah.
All the postpartum shit, postpartum depression, postpartum, like, I'm already depressed. I don't need another layer of that. Like, come on now. Come on now.
Literally.
Yeah. Crazy.
I mean, I guess the baby is cute though, so that's like supposed to
see
help,
the thing is I don't, like, even think babies are cute. That's the problem.
Some babies are really ugly.
I just think
I will say that
babies in general are not my cup of tea. What can I say?
Do you have siblings?
I do have siblings.
Do any of your siblings have kids?
No, but my sister does want to have kids, so I will eventually become an official aunt. And I have a lot of friends who have kids.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very different when you're blood related to the kid.
Like, I think when because I see my friend's kids, I'm like, oh, they're cute. But I don't really think mm-hmm. like too much beyond that. Like, they are cute.
Yeah.
But I don't have any sort of, you know, like emotional reaction beyond that, mm-hmm. I guess. But
yeah, the only baby that I have ever thought has been cute is my sister's baby.
Maybe it'll be different.
And I think that's like evolutionary.
I see.
Like, I think there's like a like something that like they put into our brains or whatever the fuck yeah. that makes you like the baby that's related to you.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. That makes sense. I mean, I heard a lot of people like, and I thought about this actually as well, that have felt extreme depression. And then if they have a baby, mm-hmm. they basically are like cured of their depression because they feel like their life has like purpose. And it kind of gives them like a will to live, essentially, that they
that's
didn't have
so
before.
So much pressure to put on a thing that just came out of your uterus.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. But I do believe it. I believe it. You know, I could see how that could yeah. happen. But do I want that for myself? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That's so much pressure.
No. Yeah. Nope.
It does sound. It's like, I don't know. You got to really want a kid.
Yeah,
I
agree. Everything about pregnancy is just the worst. It's so
it's
gross.
It's scary. It's so scary.
It is. And it's not pleasant in any shape or form. And
you can lose your teeth afterwards.
Lose your teeth, break your bones, lose your hair.
All your organs shift around. You have to like pee when you laugh. Like,
that happens with age in general too, though, unfortunately, I feel like. Even if you don't get pregnant, right?
No. Leora, do you have something to tell us?
Low-key, I'm like, do I need to start doing Kegels? Like, what's going on?
If you're peeing when you're laughing, maybe.
I feel like I can't hold my pee very well anymore.
Do you pee when you laugh?
I don't pee when I laugh. It's not that bad yet. But I think that yeah. I can definitely feel like it's harder for me to hold my pee in. I haven't peed in my pants,
uh-huh.
but it's just like that feeling, you know, of like when it's about yeah. to, like, that really feels like, oh, I feel a lot more like suddenly everything is urgent, you know?
Yeah.
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 But I've never been pregnant, so I don't know. That's maybe it's just a age thing. I am old, so, you know, who knows?
The way the like baby presses on your like bladder too also makes it really hard for pregnant women, right? Like, but it's more like, so after you have the baby, like your pelvic floor muscles are just fucking shot.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And so you just, I mean, I've seen people who are like, I have to wear a diaper. Like,
we gotta have a section on the frequency where we do Kegels mm-hmm, together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe we should have like a like an intermission part where we just start doing Kegel.
The problem about Kegels, because I was talking to my sister about this, and I was like, okay, maybe I gotta start doing Kegels because I feel like I can't hold my pee in. And she was like, I don't know if that has anything to do with that, but I was like, I don't care, I'm gonna start doing Kegels. Might as well start early, you know? But the problem mm-hmm. is I can't tell if I'm doing it right.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what it's supposed to, what is it feel supposed like? To feel like? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do I tell if I'm doing it correctly?
Okay, so like, how are you, do you want to explain how you're doing it?
So right now what I'm doing it is like, I'll put strength in my cooch, but I'll like
yeah
try to almost like suck up with my cooch, like mm-hmm. like, you know, like doing that, but like, but with my cooch
mm-hmm.
and then mm-hmm. I can like, and then like it goes up, right? Is that right? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing, and I hold it like up like that.
So I think maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. See, I don't this know is what that. I think Kegels are. Maybe I tell you what I think Kegels are, and then we Google it. Because what I thought it was is that you push, and then you pull, and you hold at both parts. So you push, you hold, you pull, you hold.
If I push, I feel like I'll pee.
Okay, but that's a problem. How hydrated are you? Holy shit.
I do drink a lot of water. I do drink a lot. But this is what I mean. I feel like I can't hold it in very well. So I gotta do Kegels.
Okay, let me just Google this.
Yeah, we're gonna Google how you do Kegels. We're learning. Yeah. Someone says to clench
how
your butthole.
How to do a Kegel. Okay. Contract the muscles you use to stop the flow of urine. Hold for a few seconds. Then relax.
Oh, I guess that is right then. It's kind of like sucking up, not pushing out.
Yeah, you were right. Okay. I was pushing out.
If I push out, I will pee. Like,
tighten your pelvic muscles upwards. Try it for 3 seconds at a time, then relax for a count of three. Oh my God, I've been doing Kegels wrong this entire time. What the fuck?
Wait, it said, go up. It said, don't make a habit of using Kegels. Oh, I see. Doing Kegels while emptying your bladder can keep your bladder from emptying full.
Oh, and you can get a UTI. You ever had a UTI?
I have.
That shit sucks.
I feel like every woman has had multiple UTIs in their life. I fucking hate that shit. That shit is so ass.
It's so bad. Like,
why does cranberry juice fix that, by the way?
Some of the antioxidants, something, something. I don't fucking know. Like, I'm pretty sure it's just like a compound in the cranberry. I don't know. It makes you just feel better.
It doesn't hurt as
happening.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I think just being hydrated more helps.
Just like that feeling of like it like burning to pee is like just the worst. The worst.
I thought, okay, for me, it's just I feel like I have to pee all the time when I have a UTI.
Yeah, and then it hurts to pee.
Yeah.
That's so bad. Although, I do think this is probably worse. Like when men get, we're going back to the urethra talk, but it's what is it that they get? Not kidney stones. What is it that they get that they have to like?
They do get kidney stones.
Is it kidney stones that like it's stuck in their pee pee?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
But women can get kidney stones too.
Oh. But it's not as bad, right?
No. Well, I think that we're just used to, like, pain. Women in general have higher pain tolerances than men.
Yeah, I was told that.
Because we have to, like, give birth, which neither of us is ever going to do. So what the fuck is this pain tolerance
for? I feel like also, like, just having your period every month and being in excruciating pain for a week probably makes you a little bit more numb to pain as a whole.
Yeah, especially in that region. Yeah, right,
that makes sense.
Yeah, no, my dad had a kidney stone when I was a kid and he would like cry on the couch for like days until it finally passed.
Do you like pee it out?
Yeah, you pee it out.
So
you
eventually when
out.
You pee it, there's like a little rock that comes out.
Yes.
Interesting.
But did you know? Did you know? Currently not applicable because Thunder Mountain Railroad is closed right now
at Disneyland,
at Disney World. Do they have it at Disneyland?
Yeah, they do.
So apparently the construction of Thunder Mountain Railroad is such that if you have a kidney stone and you go on Thunder Mountain Railroad, it can help dislodge your kidney stone.
Whoa, life hacks.
Yeah, life hack. It's actually cheaper than going to the emergency room for some people.
That's pretty good. You could just go, if you have a kidney stone, you'd be crying in pain. You go to Disneyland, everything is better.
Yeah.
And you get to spend the rest of the day at Disneyland or Disney World.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you gotta pass that stone, but after that happens,
you just gotta keep riding Big Thunder Mountain until it's out.
Until it passes.
Yeah. Just go for loops.
Until you get it out of your system.
Yeah. Sounds pretty
good.
Have
you ever had a kidney stone?
I don't think so. No. I've had multiple UTIs, but I haven't had kidney stones, no. Have you?
No, I've never had a kidney stone. I'm trying to think of what the weirdest medical thing I've had is.
I haven't had many medical things. Like, I never got my tonsils removed, for example. Like, I feel like that was really common when I was in elementary school for kids to get their tonsils removed, but I didn't get that.
Yeah.
I don't even have a lot of the more common medical things. I just have stupid shit like acid reflux.
You got GERD.
I got GERD. Oh, I do have a funny medical story where before COVID happened, it was 3 months before COVID, before like it had really... Like, you know, I had a really, really, really bad flu and We didn't even know the word COVID. We didn't know anything about it. It was really sick. Probably one of the sickest times I've ever been in my life. And I went to a hospital in Korea, and I went to the doctor, and they were like, oh, we need to like test you for, in Korea, they call it like the poison flu, but it's like an intense version of the flu, basically.
Oh my God.
And they were like, we need to test you for like this intense version of flu, which usually happens every year. Like you could get that severe version of the flu. So I go to the testing area and I start rolling my sleeve up because I think they're going to draw blood. And then the lady goes, oh, you don't need to do that. And I go, I don't. And then she proceeds to pull out the longest Q-tip I've ever seen in my life. And this was, again, before COVID. So I was like, wait.
Before the snobs.
I thought that was going to go up my ass. Like, I was like, what the fuck is this? You know, right? Like,
you're so porn brain.
Okay, but literally, you see a massive Q-tip. What do you think is going to happen? Like, what's happening? And then, and she was like, oh.
Have you ever had your throat swabbed before? Or your cheek swabbed?
Yes, but this was like a really long Q-tip. I feel like...
How long?
It was pretty long. I mean, it's like the COVID ones, right? Like, it's a little bit longer than the regular COVID ones. But anyway, she goes, tilt your head back. And she was like, and don't move. And I was like, wait, what the fuck? So she does the COVID thing where she like swabs my nose. But she goes really fucking deep. Like, I think for the next
like
2 hours.
Like, you feel like your brain touched?
Yes.
Yeah.
For the next 2 hours, I could still feel it like up there. Like, it was like...
Yeah.
She literally touched my brain. And I remember thinking like... What the fuck was that? Like, what just happened to me? And I told people, like, oh, I had the weirdest thing happen to me at the hospital today. And it was just like, it's so funny to think about that in retrospect, just given how everything, like, you know, changed after COVID and how that's like a totally normal thing now. But that was like one of the most bizarre things that had happened at the time anyway, you know?
Yeah. You felt your brain be touched by a woman.
I straight up told people, like, I feel like they touched my brain. I feel like they went straight into my brain. Yeah.
No, you got penetrated.
What is that called? There's a word for that.
Mind
fuck. No. Like, because mind fuck is like I think there's like an actual one for like when you get like brain fucked, like actually brain fucked.
That's
like a tag.
I don't know if I can say that in like polite company. Like the rest of the shit I've been saying tonight.
Yeah, everything else has been kosher though. It's just this topic. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're gonna, what was it? Sound off on that topic.
Sound off.
Sound off kind of sounds like you're having a sounding competition.
Having a sound off.
Yeah.
Or like you're yelling.
Oh yeah.
With somebody. I don't know.
Like you're like wholesome one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I think we're wrapping up now. Is there any last burning questions about birth in particular that we'd like to tackle before we close out today's first episode?
Okay. If you had to give birth anywhere, where would you give birth?
You mean like any country or like home
Anywhere. Yeah. Or any situation. Because there's definitely benefits, right, to different, like, places.
I would definitely want to be in a hospital. I don't think I could do a home one. I think I have too much anxiety for, like, a home one or, like, one of the more natural ones or anything. I'd probably want to do it in I would say Korea. Because I have friends who have given birth in Japan, and I have friends who have given birth in Korea. And both places are very nice in terms of, like, postpartum care and, like, what they do for you as a country. However, I don't really like that in Japan... That, like, because this is in the case of I want a baby, right? Like, I
Yeah.
That's the premise. In Japan, they separate you from your baby.
Oh.
It's like, they put them in, like, an incubator, basically.
Oh.
And they label the incubator, right? So you have periods of throughout the day where you have baby time, and then you have periods of the day where you're not allowed to see your baby, which I think be okay with that. I think I'd have a lot of anxiety about that.
Yeah, like you put a lot of work into that thing.
Like you want to be with that thing all the time, right? Like,
yeah. The skin to skin is really important, right?
Yeah. And
I don't know.
Like, there's
babies.
A lot of Korean dramas, because I think Korea used to do this as well, but nowadays they don't. A lot of Korean dramas where the babies get swapped, or maliciously the babies get swapped. And that happens, and like, you know, they grow up and they're like 30 and then they realize that they've been swapped.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very common case in Korean dramas, and I think that stems from that actually accidentally happening sometimes. And I think I'd have so much anxiety about that potentially happening. Like, you barely have seen your baby anyway. Now when you're given your baby, who knows if that's the same baby?
Yeah.
Like, sure, there might be obvious signs, but in general, like, you might not know, really. Yeah. Especially in such a, like, homogenous country.
I would know if it was my baby or not, right? Like, you know your baby, right?
I don't know. Well, like, if they take the baby away as soon as it's born, you get to look at it for, like, an hour. And then they take the baby mm-hmm. away. And then they bring you back another baby a little later.
It's got to smell different. That baby smells different.
You might be right. You might be able to suss it out.
Right?
But imagine if the hospital gaslights you. Like, I imagine that there's women who go, like, this is not my baby. And the hospital's like, you're crazy. Like, we're putting you into a mental facility. Like, this is literally your baby.
No, many such cases where women are just medically gaslit. Right.
So I think I would be so anxious about something like that happening that...
What if you put an air tag on your baby?
An air tag?
I think that could solve
it. You're so right. Modern problems require modern solutions.
I don't understand why we don't just put, like, those dog microchips in babies, you know?
You know what? That's a really good question. Why don't we do that?
Like, I feel like sometimes these kids just be getting lost.
They do.
You know? Yeah.
And, like, the microchips don't have... It's not like, you know... I know people are, like, my privacy, but it's not like there's anything else in that microchip. It just tells you, like, a name and phone number. It also would be helpful for identifying, like, you know, if someone... were to get murdered and then their limbs chopped off, then at least you could identify one of the limbs.
Yeah.
Unless they scooped out the fucking microchip, which would be crazy. I mean, that would be a whole... That's a different horror story. That's crazy.
Yeah. Like Squid Game.
Yeah, like Squid Game.
Where he scoops... Yeah, like Squid Game. I think for me, it would probably also be like either... It's definitely not an American city where I'd give birth.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You know, if I did that.
But what about in terms of like hospital versus like water versus like home? Is there a preference there that you have? I can totally understand why someone would want to do it at home though. Like, because you feel comfortable there, right? Like you...
But what if something bad happens?
Yeah, exactly.
That's my thing.
I would not be able to do it.
If I had... Well, I would want... Okay, here's the situation I would want. I would want a midwife to be with me, or like a, what are they called, doulas or something, a midwife or a doula. And I would also want to be in a hospital where afterwards they take care of me for a while,
right, like
and
a postpartum
it doesn't
hospital
cost a bajillion dollars,
yeah,
and where the food is good. So that
Asia
kind of leaves me with like Asia, or like I don't know if any like European countries do that.
Yeah, but their food is not going to be good. That's the problem.
No, you're right. No, I'm a very worldly woman. I've traveled to a bunch of places, and Sweden by far had the least good food.
I just went to Sweden, the Netherlands, and Denmark. Sweden had better food than the Netherlands. And
oh, that's terrifying news for me.
Yeah. And then Denmark had better food than Sweden.
Huh.
And I say this as a obviously my taste buds are, you know, like taste buds are very, very subjective. So that's that's for me. But generally in the Netherlands, everything tasted like the only seasoning they used was salt.
Well, that's like a white people thing.
Yeah, but like even white people, like I like white food. Don't get me wrong. Like I have the taste buds of an old white man.
What do you think is white food? Actually, if we get started on this, I'm never going to I'm never going to shut the fuck up.
Like I like fucking shit like hamburgers and IHOP. Like that's like my jam, you know, like I like all that stuff. And I like really salty food too.
Yeah.
But I think the thing with a lot of the European food that I had is it felt like it wasn't cooked with the salt. It was the salt was added after it had been cooked.
After.
If that makes sense. So it just didn't taste very good. It just tasted super salty, but like not good. But no, yeah, like Denmark had the better food, and they also had really good, everywhere had good bread, but Denmark food was good.
Yeah.
And then Sweden had like, you know, I had like the meatballs and stuff, and all that was very good. But
yeah, the meatballs are great. I love the meatballs. I'm down for the meatballs.
Netherlands was, that was awful. Everything there was...
Yeah.
Even like the best places were like not good. I was not a fan. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So if you go to the hospital there, I can't imagine that the postpartum hospitals will have appetizing meals.
Good food. Yeah. And I need food to heal me.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gone through our adventure, and we birthed our new podcast.
We did. Celebrating the birth of a new podcast with lots of birth related topics and stories.
Hopefully not just birth. Next week, we'll talk about what Leora thinks white people food is.
So
and I
true.
Will be able to judge her on that.
Yes. I'm ready because I do think that genuinely most of my peers who are Asian look at me with disgust and contempt.
Oh.
Like their eyebrows raise, like, Lior, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I just like white people food. I'm sorry. Like, just leave me alone. Leave me alone. Allow me to live my best white person life, okay?
True.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Your best. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I guess that's it for now.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks
we'll
for
see
watching
you again
or
in,
listening.
2 weeks. Yeah. Or wherever you are, mm-hmm. make sure to go and follow Liora.
And follow Leah too.
And follow me.
Yeah.
And rate the podcast 5 stars on all the platforms because it helps us out. And also, like, comment, and subscribe.
Hell yeah. We will be, I believe, attempting a bi-monthly, right?
Mm-hmm. So we're doing 2 pods a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is the first for the month, and then the second will be, I don't know. We'll announce ahead of time when the next one is. Yeah. But it'll be either Tuesdays or
Fridays
for the recordings. Mm-hmm. And that's about it, I guess.
That's what it is.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, and stay tuned on Leah's channel and also on her Twitter for information if we do end up uploading it to other platforms. It'll be on her side. So be sure to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.